It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A Jewish community in the Northern Panhandle is celebrating deep roots this year.
Wheeling is celebrating 250 years. Temple Shalom, for the last 170 of those years, has been deeply invested in making the city the best place that it could be.
A conversation with Rabbi Lee from Temple Shalom in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. The dozens of coal miners who staged a week-long protest in Kentucky's Harlan County demanding pay from their bankrupt employer can now claim a partial victory. Brittany Patterson reports more than 1,000 miners left unpaid by Black Jewel Coal could soon be getting some, but not all, of the money they are owed.
A federal judge overseeing the bankruptcy concluded the sales of some of Black Jewel's property and equipment Tuesday. Some buyers agreed to put money toward paying some of the roughly $11 million owed to miners who have gone over a month without pay. Sam Petzonk is an attorney with Mountain State Justice and is representing some of the miners. He says the money won't cover everything miners are owed,
but it'll be a good down payment. Additional wages and penalties, damages that are owed to the workers will have to come through further litigation.
It appears no mine buyers made legal commitments to rehire the Black Jewel workers. However, an attorney for Copper Glow Mining, which purchased mines in Kentucky, said the company intends to hire at least some Black Jewel employees. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson in Charleston, West Virginia.
Nationally, nearly a quarter of all rural hospitals are struggling to stay open. In West Virginia, almost 40% of rural hospitals are at risk of closure. There are several reasons for that.
Inability to recruit physicians to small communities, declining population base. Roughly 10,000 people a day go on Medicare, and Medicare doesn't cover the cost of care in a hospital environment.
That's Dave Ramsey, CEO and president of Charleston Area Medical Center. And yet some hospitals in rural areas are doing well, or at least growing. Those that are succeeding are often the largest facilities. Carol Lofton takes a look at three biggest health systems in West Virginia and what they are doing to prepare for the future.
Over the past 10 years, the WVU health system has exploded.
We're building out a statewide footprint with the intention of making sure we have locally controlled health care that improves the health of the population in the state of West Virginia.
That's Albert Wright, president and CEO of the West Virginia University Health System. In the beginning of July, Summersville Regional Medical Center became the latest addition to WVU Medicine System. Since 2005, about a dozen hospitals have either entered a management agreement or become full members of the university health system.
You know, we have a increasingly large and growing subspecialized academic medical center, you know, and if we want to be able to provide all care in state, you know, and do things like advanced heart and vascular procedures, advanced neuroscience procedures, transplantation, you need to be able to have a population base, you know, that feeds those programs. So we work to coordinate with those rural hospitals that when those patients, if we can provide the care in the community, that's where we do it. When they need the higher level services, you know, they come to Morgantown.
Meanwhile, a new regional healthcare system has popped up in the Mid-Ohio Valley. Cabell Huntington Hospital and St. Mary's Medical Center recently merged to create Mountain Health Network.
This merger came together not for the intent to just survive, but with the expectation that we're going to thrive in the future.
Michael Mullins is the president and CEO of Mountain Health Network, which also includes a management agreement at a third hospital. He says the goal is to continue growing the network over the coming years.
The small rural hospitals just don't have enough volume in order to cover their overhead. So a couple of tough decisions need to be made by those communities. One is, do you continue to try to fight to be an inpatient provider, or do you reshape what is needed for the community to be more of an ambulatory footprint and then find that larger regional system that you can be affiliated with to potentially help you reduce some costs of services.
Mullen says a larger health system allows for lower overhead for everyone while simultaneously helping to keep some form of medical care in local communities. But keeping a hospital open may mean discontinuing inpatient accommodations. In order to survive, he says, a medical facility might need to be a freestanding emergency room or an outpatient center only.
They're going to have to redefine what do they do in regards to the services and what truly makes sense and what could be done more in a regional setting.
In southern West Virginia, Charleston Area Medical Center is taking a different approach to managing rural health facilities.
Our history has been to work with folks to keep the care and the management of their hospital local. Would we work with a hospital and purchase them? Yes.
But Dave Ramsey, president and CEO of Charleston Area Medical Center, says acquisition is not their focus. Instead, they have partnered with about 30 other doctors, hospitals, federally qualified health centers, and free clinics. These facilities all want to remain independent, but are working together to do things like implement a single shared electronic medical record platform. Ramsey also points out that nationally, the trend is to increasingly do everything possible to keep people out of hospitals.
Hospitals are very expensive places, so that's where we're headed. Where hospitals will generally be, we believe, in the future, is mostly large ICUs, that so much of the care can be delivered on an outpatient basis.
Totally independent rural hospitals may be a thing of the past. Instead, to survive, it's grow, affiliate, change. To keep on keeping on is to die. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health and Charleston Area Medical Center. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, highs in the 80s. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies, still a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Black Bears, playing in Morgantown from June 14th to August 30th. Tickets, sponsors, and promotional information available at westvirginiablackbears.com. Wheeling's Jewish community got together over the weekend to celebrate 170 years in the Ohio Valley. Glennis Board sat down with Rabbi Joshua Leaf, who grew up in the congregation. The rabbi says he's proud to be part of a legacy of resilient, caring people with deep, multi-generational roots in the Mountain State. Here's a segment of that conversation.
It's a reality in Wheeling, still today, that our congregation is disproportionately made up of multi-generation families. We have a hallway that leads from the social hall to our library, and hanging in the hallway are all of the confirmation class photos from the past 100+ years. We have them all the way back to the 19-teens, and my picture hangs on that wall, as does my sister, as do many of our friends, the other young families who have little kids in Sunday school now, as do some of their parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, and even great-great-grandparents. And it's amazing to see oneself as part of a very long, ongoing tradition of Jewish life in this community. Wheeling is celebrating 250 years. Temple Shalom, for the last 170 of those years, has been deeply invested in making the city the best place that it could be. We're still very much engaged. We seek partnerships all the time with our friends of other faiths. We connect with our friends at Catholic Charities to staff their soup kitchen and to stock their shelves with canned goods from our food drives and to give gifts to the kids on their Christmas kids list. It's not our holiday, but it's our friends and neighbors who are in need. So we work with them. We partner with them. And that's what our members have been doing for 170 years. We continue those efforts today.
We've talked a little bit about the changes in the community and the changes across the nation. A lot of that has brought into focus this epidemic of people looking for comfort through drugs and alcohol, through opioids, through methamphetamines. Mm-hmm. How is the Jewish community here in Wheeling responding to that crisis?
It is truly an epidemic, with the fallout from pain medication abuse, which of course segues into heroin abuse, and it's devastating. It touches the lives of all of us. Temple Shalom has been very proud to be part of the drug take-back efforts for the DEA. We publicize that. With the West Virginia Council of Churches, we participate in the Day of Hope, and we engage, with Joel Richter from the Mozart Evangelical Lutheran Church. We led the service for those struggling with addiction last year down at St. Matthew's Episcopal Church downtown. And I personally sit on Youth Services Systems Impact Coalition trying to stem the tide of drug addiction. And I also sit on the board of the Unity Center trying to give hope and assistance to those seeking recovery. On a practical level, our congregant, Lisa Allen at Ziegenfelder's, is renowned nationally for her efforts and those of her team members. When they're putting their values into their employment hiring practices, they're doing more than just making frozen treats. They're making our community a better place. Those are our values. Those are our Jewish values that they're living where the rubber meets the road.
In the news lately, we were hearing about these mass shootings. And I wonder, too, as a spiritual leader in this community and in this state, how do you respond to that reality?
Well, our congregation was touched quite intimately and directly by the mass shooting at Tree of Life Congregation just a year ago in Pittsburgh, when the enormity of the experience became clear to me as a rabbi, I thought to myself, we're going to have to do something to give people a space in which to grieve. On Sunday afternoon, October the 28th, we had an overflowing crowd of over 500 people. So it was the whole city, turned out. Everybody came from all different religious traditions, public safety personnel, elected officials, friends, neighbors, total strangers. And I said on that occasion in my sermon that afternoon, I said we could have closed the doors and locked them and drew the window shades closed and hid in fear, or we could open the doors. And that was our response, not to hide, but to be even more open, but to say, really, we value being part of this close-knit community, and a hateful person and their evil actions are not going to change our core values. In fact, it's our core values of openness and inclusivity and welcoming, being good hosts like Abraham, our ancestor in the Bible, welcoming in the stranger and the guest. That's going to be our answer. Terrorists want to terrorize us. And we have to rise above the fear that is quite reasonable. Intentional inflicting of pain upon somebody else is not acceptable in our society. And we're going to respond not with hatred, but with more love, with more kindness, with more grace. That's the only weapon I have in my arsenal, and we're going to deploy it as often as we can.
That was Rabbi Joshua Leaf of Temple Shalom in Wheeling. His community is celebrating 170 years of faith and service in the Mountain State this year.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.